Hello, and welcome to Between the Sessions, a podcast for meetings industry professionals presented by the Palm Beaches. I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd.
And I'm your co-host, Jamie Hart. Our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas and discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry in the U.S. and globally.
And today, we are pleased to welcome Emily Scheiderer. She is the Senior Director of Education, Sales, and Services for Destinations International. Hi, Emily. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Jamie and Suzanne. Thank you so much for having me. I love the thought leadership that you guys bring with this podcast, and I'm just super excited to be a part of the conversation today.
Well, we appreciate you coming on with us. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the hospitality meetings industry.
Yeah, happy to. So my hospitality journey has taken me all over the place, which I think isn't super uncommon actually in our industry. And one of the things that I think really sets it apart in the best possible way. For me, growing up, my parents were really big on the fact that travel is a necessity. They were big on that, you know, we needed to experience different places and mindsets and cultures to be the best versions of ourselves. And they were also really big on the power of music and making sure that we attended a lot of different live events. And so for me, the industry was kind of a natural fit, but I think I didn't really understand at that time what the career path looks like within that industry. So I actually kind of started out in marketing with a medical organization, but the way that it was structured in that organization, that department also oversaw the medical events that were planned. And so that was my first kind of exposure that I had to the logistics side of the planning world. And so that definitely intrigued my interest. And as I continued to kind of build my experience in that and also in editing, I really wanted to find a place where that knowledge could come into play. And I had the opportunity then to move into a sales and marketing role in the hotel world. And so that just opened up all new doors. That was a great experience, a great culture, a great team. And I really learned a lot about the industry. And from there, I was able to make my next step into the destination organization. And ultimately, that led me here to DI.
Awesome. Yeah, I think you're right. Most people who we have on the podcast seem to have the same story of, you know, my path to where I am was, was not a straight one and kind of finding their way. So I think that you're so right. That's a very common theme in our industry, which is awesome.
And a great thing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you mentioned Destinations International. So for anyone listening who may not be familiar or might be newer to the industry, can you give us just a high-level overview of who DI is and what you guys do and how you support both destinations and meeting professionals?
Absolutely. So Destinations International, or DI, as you will lovingly hear us refer to it as we go along, we are actually the trade association that represents destination organizations across the globe. So the CVBs, the DMOs, the tourism authorities, those types of organizations, they make up our membership. And what we really focus on with our membership is not only creating a space for that community, but also supporting it with the tools and education that will help them continue to be purpose over profit. What is wonderful about our membership and what we want to continue to uplift is the fact that they create massive impacts within their communities. So we really focus on what can we do to support those organizations to continue to make those impacts. And a big part of that is obviously the extension into business events and working with those business event strategists and meeting planners.
You know, a lot of meetings professionals work with DMOs, but what are some different or unusual ways that planners can partner with the DMOs for meetings?
Well, you can probably tell as I get going on this, I get very excited about this topic. And I get excited about it because I am a sincere, true blue believer of the value of the destination organization. I would say if there is one fault within our industry, it's that maybe sometimes we're a little too modest. And I think that the work that the DMOs do in their communities, it's so deep and it's so vast. And specifically looking at business events, I think only really a percentage of event strategists are fully tapping into the depth of those resources. One of the things that I find most impressive about the destination organizations is that they really work tirelessly to standardize resources, but they do that so that they can customize support. So when we see business event strategists approach them as an extension of their team, they really can serve as a client vision advocate. And so when they do that, they can help them bring that strategy that they have for their event to life in a way that I think they've never probably done before. We see a whole different level of value proposition when they collaborate. And when they lean into the DMO, that DMO can really be that community connector for them. They can be the influencer for them in the community, and they can really broker the intellectual capital that's in that destination to create those impacts for the community, but also for the hosting organization.
Yeah. And, you know, you hit it with value prop and sort of that what the DMO can offer to the planners. But how does that translate into improved attendee experience and ROI? And how can business event strategists really leverage that to deliver on those sorts of goals?
I would say it connects to the experience and it connects to ROI in every step of the way throughout the planning cycle. It really goes back to kind of that concept dimension of that client vision advocate, working really closely with the DMO from sourcing to actualization of the event is going to impact that strategy. And when they are included on the front end, right, and not just in a I copied you on the lead way, but in a true partnership, they can really support in that planning. And they can also support in what I think, maybe even more importantly, the post-event impact strategies. The event strategist is really the expert on their event, right? They're the expert on their stakeholders. They know that event inside and out, and they know their attendees. And the DMO is the expert on the destination's assets. So when those two come together and they discuss those attendee sentiments and then they match them with the best destination assets, experiences that the attendee are going to have there are ones that can't be replicated elsewhere because they can only happen with that event and that destination, and they're going to directly benefit from that. The type of collaboration will really end up creating a must-attend event, and it's also going to increase the impacts, right, on the local community and even the future rebooking and the destination and potentially make that more financially lucrative for the planner. But, you know, I think we really can't underestimate the value of impact. And more than ever, right, we know the world does not look the same as it used to. And event strategists are really dealing with that, I think, probably more than anyone on all sides. So they're really in a position where they're having to balance things they've never had to before. Business and emotional intelligence factors, you know, they're seeing that through and through. Budgetary impacts. And what I would say is one of the biggest shifts I think we've ever seen in attendee motivations and booking patterns. So now more than ever, they really need to partner with the DMO to understand what attendee behavior patterns and economic, community, and cultural impacts that their event is having in that destination, and then use that to enhance the event year over year for their stakeholders.
Can you give us an example of some, you know, a recent event where they, you know, the event strategist and partnered with the DMO and just really knocked it out of the park, like something that comes to mind?
I mean, we see it every day. There's so much collaboration that is taking place between the destinations and those planners. We're seeing them tap more into the intellectual capital, and they're tapping into creating customized experiences that are based on those attendee profiles. So there's a lot of different platforms, there's technologies and things that are being used, and planners are now kind of working with destinations to understand where are their attendees going and how can they use that information to broker relationships and partnerships and things that will enhance that experience moving forward.
And you touched on so many important points, but I think what's really interesting here, well, there's a lot, but is the motivations for attendees to attend events and actually book that conference registration. So from your, you know, from Destination International's end, where you're providing so many resources to the destination partners, what are you seeing and kind of from the business events community that can help destinations and planners kind of meet in the middle to meet those new attendee needs?
I would say a lot of it boils down to welcoming environments, right? I know that is a very broad term. It's something that is very important though. And so for destination organizations and meeting event strategists, when they collaborate to really create and foster inclusive atmospheres, that's where we're seeing the most success taking place.
What does a welcoming environment look like to you for meetings and events?
To me, I would say it has to be really three things. It has to be an intentional event, it has to be a communicative event, and it has to be an impactful one to all of the attendees. And it has to be all three of those things before during and after the event. You know, I represent an association that hosts events, but I'm also an industry professional who attends events. And when I attend an event, you know, it's not lost on me that I'm exchanging my time for a commodity, right? That's a commodity that cannot be given back to me. I not only need to see the value on that return, but I also want to see why I belong at that event. And I think when event strategists and destination organizations come together to kind of create those intentional spaces and to communicate what to expect and how to navigate the event and the destination, that's for me when I start to see, you know, where and how I can make an impact on my career, on my industry, and in the community that I'm meeting in.
Yeah. So I'm glad we're talking about welcoming environments. You actually recently wrote an article for Meetings Today about welcoming environments. And so without spoiling the whole article, we want people to go read it. what were some of the key points that you think that business event strategists can take away from that piece and advice for creating welcoming environments?
Yeah, that article in particular was a really fun one to write. And honestly, I feel like it's a testament to the value of this topic. The fact that Meetings Today, a great publication with a well-deserved reputation of validity, is willing to create space for this conversation, you know, that not only tells me that it's a valuable conversation, but it also tells me that our industry leaders are really up to the challenge of taking a leading role in creating welcoming environments. And so for me, that, you know, is an industry that I couldn't be more happy to be a part of, because, you know, we see the importance and we see what we need to do and the steps we need to take. When I wrote the article, you know, I really wanted anyone reading it to walk away with a general concept that, you know, as event organizers and as destination organizations, we really have to consider both basic and complex factors that are going to support physical and mental health and safety needs, right? So all of those needs are going to be really, really different for every single attendee. And I think that's where it goes back to being intentional and making sure that the communication is strong for the event. In the article, I really wanted to focus on tactical steps, I think, more so rather than high-level concepts, because I think both are really, really important. But for me, the first tactical step, you know, in my opinion, is to engage the destination organization. I think from there, you can really work together to create a communication plan. And that's kind of the basis of the article, if you read it, is really having that plan in place that makes the attendee feel informed and in control and really safe to share their thought leadership. So some of the ways, you know, to do that really is by approaching our site visits differently and approaching how we're mapping space differently and approaching how we're asking our concession requests, you know, differently. And I think if we work on those areas and approach those three areas a little differently than we have before, we're really setting ourselves up to create an event that makes sense for everybody. Looking at what space, you know, and what signage we're creating and what does it say to the attendee? Are we creating prayer rooms, nursing rooms, or sensory spaces that can really help attendees be at their best? Are we using signage as more than just wayfinding? Is, you know, it can very much be a medium for inclusivity and connecting attendees. And, you know, are we truly addressing accessibility needs? And I don't mean are we ADA compliant, because yeah, we are. We're ADA compliant, but no, that's not enough, right? I think there's a lot of factors that impact how, you know, attendees are going to access and consume the experience, the food and beverage, and the content. And we really have to be intentional, right, in each of those areas. And that could be varying from the height level of our buffets, or it could be in how we're equipping our speakers, you know, to make sure that they're delivering inclusive stage presentations and supporting interpreters and closed caption technologies and things of that nature. So, you know, really, the article is around meeting the needs of each attendee in our event. And even though that's a big task, I think it's something that we're going to have to continue to enhance in our events year over year.
Yeah, some of your advice in that article was also about tapping into local culture or in talent. And can you share a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So this is one of my absolute favorite industry topics, and I get very excited about it. So I'm going to just have to calm myself down before I get going here. I love this topic. There's so much potential in this area. Every single destination in the entire world has something unique about it, and they have their own individual set of capital, right? They have infrastructural capital, they have human capital, they have cultural and creative capital. And that capital, that commodity, that value that's there, you know, that can be industry related, that can be cause related, that can be a lot of different things. And when events lean into the destination organization to tap into those authentic assets within their destination, they enhance the event's inclusivity. They enhance the benefit to the attendee that's, you know, coming to their event, and they're enhancing the impact that they're making on the community that they're hosting in. So it's really just a win for everybody. You know, this is a really big focus for us at DI, as you can tell by my enthusiasm. In fact, we're launching a training program later this year that's exclusively focused to this for destination organizations, because we see firsthand that when this collaboration happens and when we're tapping into these assets differently than we have before, we start directly impacting event attendance and membership retention and ultimately the event bottom line a lot of times. And so I think, you know, really tapping into those assets and those local thought leaders, you know, it can drive content, attendee satisfaction, ROI really is what it boils down to. And it gives those attendees that interactive expertise and experience and personal growth. And it also develops local talent and workforce pipeline, right? So it's so impactful. It's so big. There's so much opportunity. I know this is not something that is a new concept to you, because the Palm Beaches is a prime example, right? You have such a wonderful Destination Champions program in place. And I know from working with your team that, you know, those are deep and meaningful community connections, and they're prioritized, which we're hoping to see every destination get into that space.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. It's also, you know, for us, this is something that is really important to us and is a huge part of our value proposition to groups and meetings and conventions, is that it customizing the meeting with local talent and intellectual capital makes it inherently something you can't get anywhere else. And so you're giving your audience something that is unique and is a driver for attendance. And it also provides your audience who, I mean, I attend business events and it's quick, right? You're in and you're out and you're in the convention center and you're in the hotel and you're at this reception and that reception. But connecting the local community within the meeting, or between the sessions, as we like to say, it gives your guests and your attendees a chance to really understand the destination in a way that they may not be able to when you are flying speakers in. And then, speaking of flying, obviously there's the sustainability aspect and the economic impact on the local community when you use intellectual capital that's in the destination. So yeah, I think, you know, it's something that is certainly being talked about more, and Destinations International has been a huge part of that conversation. But, you know, from kind of a business events perspective, have you seen any really innovative things that planners have done or that you've seen destinations do to support meetings that maybe are not just your bringing in a guest speaker or a local business leader?
Certainly. And I would also say so much creativity, not only in that intellectual capital space, but how that's directly being connected to that welcoming environment space. You know, I think every destination organization and every, you know, hosting organization, they come with their own ceiling for budgets and staffing and resources. And some are in a position where they have dedicated staff to this area, while others are not. But what I am seeing, I would say, more consistently across the board is a really exciting element of creativity and kind of dedication to this space. You know, from the destination side, we're certainly seeing a commitment to education around the topic of both intellectual capital and also welcoming environments. Many of our member organizations have participated in our inclusion pledges, have went through the process of evaluating their own organizations through our assessment tools and other things that we offer. And as exciting as that is to see, what's really kind of energizing to us at this point is now that they've all kind of went through those processes, they're at a point where we're starting to see that implementation into business events. And so we're seeing things like the reimagination of the pre-promote, right? What should it be? And how can those resources go to support placemaking for attendees and tapping into local intellectual capital? We're seeing deep integration into communities that meet the attendee need, as you mentioned, but also the resident need, right? And leaving the destination better than they found it, while at the same time, positively impacting that meeting event strategist's bottom line. So, you mentioned when you're flying in speakers, there's an environmental element and all of that. There's also a financial element to that. And when you're able to tap into that locally, that's, you know, one less thing that planner has to pay for in a time when budgets are complicated. Supply chain and all of these things are happening that are impacting it. And that's just another asset to them, right? So we're seeing those deep integrations happening. In some cases, we're even seeing creativity that I would have never expected to see. Some destinations are taking tragic events that have taken place within their community or that have directly impacted their community, and they're turning that into transferable learnings. And they're using it to educate attendees coming into their destinations on how to have hard conversations in healthy ways. So they're really creating this different environment, this different learning factor. And I would say along those lines, another thing that we're really seeing that I'm really, really pleased about is a deeper commitment to accessibility across the board. And they're working not only with great international organizations like Wheel the World, but also with local organizations to bring in and make sure that every single person that's coming into their destination is not only getting that expertise and that culture that they couldn't get elsewhere, but they're also coming in and they know that they belong there.
Yeah. We love Wheel the World. We're working with them on some assessments in the destination. And it's so true. There's so many talented partners out there for both destinations and business event strategists to work with, because, I mean, something that I always think is this is all great, right? But people are not only our budgets tight, but time is tight. And so what is your best advice for someone in the planning world who wants to take this on but kind of doesn't know where to start? I mean, it's overwhelming. There are so many factors that go into welcoming environments. So kind of where do you recommend people start thinking about creating that environment?
That is a great, great question. And you are 100% right. Budgets are tight. Time is tight. Staffing looks different than it used to, right? And sometimes it's easy to shy away from these topics because it feels like you are drinking from a fire hydrant. And so I think my number one piece of advice in this is that Rome's not built in a day. So let's take it a step at a time. Whether you're the destination organization that's building your intellectual capital program and you're putting these pieces together, or you're the event organizer who's saying, how do I build this into my business event strategy? You know, what does this look like? You really have to take a step back. And for the event organizer, the first step is looking at your attendees and looking at what you can learn about your attendees in the different places. So, you know, pre-event requests, are you tracking those and seeing the trends? Post-event surveys, what do those look like? What are trends that are happening there? And also, you know, destination organizations, are they using tools that are in place that could help you understand the attendee behavioral patterns? Is it, you know, apps that provide, you know, different programs and things within the destinations and discounts and stuff where you're actively able to see maybe what restaurants are being frequented or different things of that nature, activities, you know, attractions, that kind of thing. The more you can learn about them, your attendees, and the more you know who they are and what they need, the more you can start building that in each year, right? And you can continue to build on that. And I think for the event strategist, this isn't just something that is encouraged. This is something that is a necessity. What I mean by that is that I would advocate that it's the difference between the long-term success or failure of your event and your role, right? And I think the pandemic brought with it a lot of challenge. I don't think anybody would debate that statement, but it did also give us a gift. And the gift that it gave us was a really new level of awareness around our industry. And for many event strategists, it also came with an awareness within their own organizations around their value, because it wasn't just, you know, a revenue stream with meetings anymore. It was a strategist at the table, right? Talking about contracts and long-term plans and all these really deep things, right? They were far from a planner. They were an attorney and a negotiator and, you know, all of these, the strategic elements that went into that. And so for the event strategist, if you want to keep your seat at that table that you were given over the past few years, the only way to do that is through future-proofing of your events. And if you want to future-proof your events in a world where attendee sentiment looks different, they are deciding to attend events on very different factors than they have before. And a lot of people are deciding a lot more last minute, which I know is a different obstacle within itself, right? But if you want to really future-proof that event, the only way to do that is to understand the attendees as a starting point and start building your event around them. And I think not only will that support your current attendee base, it's also going to uncover niche groups of attendees within your event. And if you find those niche groups, you find the opportunity for growth.
Yeah. I heard someone say recently, I think it was on another podcast, they said customization is inherently inclusive. And I wrote it on a post-it note and put it on my computer because yes, it's so true. It's the most personalized, inclusive experience you can give is when you customize something for someone.
Truly. Yeah, but that's also really great advice, Ebeli, about just knowing your audience, right? I mean, it's just basic, knowing your audience, and then you can provide the niche experiences, the customization that everyone wants, you know, to feel special, to feel that like they're included.
And if they're requesting it, they request it this year, next year they don't have to because I've already got it built in, right? And so continuing to know that audience and build on that every year. You don't have to reinvent your entire, you know, event next year. You're going to do it a bite at a time. You're going to do it over time, and you're going to help each and every one of those attendees know that that adjustment was made because they requested it and they belong there. We want you there. You're important to us.
Well, the name of the podcast, Emily, is Between the Sessions. So we ask everyone this question. You said you've been to a lot of meetings, obviously, and events. What's your favorite Between the Sessions memory, activity, or experience?
Oh, wow.
Put you on
the
spot.
What a question. What a question to end on, right? That's a solid one. In all honesty, and it's so cheesy, okay? So let me just preface with, I'm sorry, this is so cheesy. But I have to say, all of them. Sessions at events are very, very valuable, right? But I think we kind of have to go back to that fundamental fact that face-to-face events can under no circumstances ever be fully replaced. No circumstances. And that's because they bring something that you can't get elsewhere. Content that happens in the sessions, that brings new ideas and thought leadership. And for me, anyway, that provokes me. That provokes me to think. However, when I walk out of that session, the organic networking that happens at live events between those sessions, that for me, that's where innovation lies, right? So I've been provoked to think, now I'm going to go connect with my peers and we're going to innovate. And so I think we learned even throughout the pandemic that we can get some level of content virtually, but the magic, you know, that magic that happens in that innovation, that only happens when we are face to face and we're talking through those ideas peer to peer. So for me, every single one of those minor or major conversations that I had between those sessions, that's where, you know, I have found it to contribute to my greater good and to the greater good of my job, my career, my industry, and really me as a person.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And one that has been echoed a few times before by people who say a very similar thing, that it's what's happened in those little moments, you know, the connections that you make with people.
It's the aha,
you can't
right?
You can't get on a Zoom link.
You cannot. The only thing you can get on a Zoom link is a reminder to unmute. But, you know, you can get the aha in person.
Right. And we do end every episode of Between the Sessions with swag. Our swag is a little bit different, though. Our swag is a tip or piece of advice that you would share with people in this industry that helped you, maybe.
Piece of advice. So I would say, obviously, I'm an advocate for the destination organization, so I don't think anyone's going to find this to be super surprising. But my advice to the event strategists out there, create a deep relationship with your destination partners. Include them from the start, include them in the conversation, and see them as an extension of your team, because they can advocate for you in their community, and they can expand your resources in a way that is major and that comes at no cost to you. And at a time when you have less staff than you want and you have less budget than you want, I see no downside of partnering with someone who's going to expand your workforce and your resources for free. So get to know them. Don't just talk to them when you're sourcing an RFP. Get to know them.
I love that, obviously.
Yeah. It's like the advice you always got when you were in college, like get to know your professor. Let them see your face. You know?
Yes.
Don't be shy.
Definitely.
It's true. Well, Emily, how can listeners get in touch with you? Well,
you can find me on the destinationsinternational.org webpage. We have a staff contact page where you can reach me. You can email me at escheider@destinationsinternational.org, or feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and direct message there. I would love to connect with any industry professionals, answer any questions, and always just make those meaningful connections.
Awesome. Well, Emily Scheider with Destinations International, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. We really appreciate you tuning into this episode of Between the Sessions, presented by the Palm Beaches. Hit the subscribe button and make sure to leave a review as well. You can find the Palm Beaches on LinkedIn as well, or head to thepalmbeaches.com/meetings. This has been Between the Sessions.